Live from the historic parsonage of 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania. It's Iron Sharpens Iron, a radio platform on which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs 27, verse 17 tells us, "Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." Matthew Henry said that in this passage, quote, "We are cautioned to take heed whom we converse with, and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better." It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next hour, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. Now here's our host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at IronSharpensIronRadio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Friday on this 19th day of October 2018. I'm so delighted to have, for the very first time ever on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Alfonso Rachel. He prefers to be called Zoe, and he is an actor portraying Detective Stark in the film Gosnell. Today we are going to be addressing how a pro-choice advocate came to believe in the sanctity of life of unborn children, and we're going to be discussing some behind-the-scenes stuff from the Gosnell film. In our second portion of the program today, we're going to be joined later on by Scott Klusendorf. He's an author and founder and president of Life Training Institute, and he is going to be discussing lessons to be learned from the Gosnell film, which he saw recently and believed had a profound impact on him, and we are going to be hearing about that later on today. But first of all, it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Zoe Rachel.
All right. My pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Oh, I am delighted to have you here. First of all, before we get into the Gosnell movie, I want you to give a summary of your own background. We usually have first-time guests who are Christian give a summary of their testimonies, what kind of religious atmosphere, if any, they were raised in, and how they came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their God and Savior. And so tell us about that. What kind of upbringing did you have, and how did you eventually come to embrace Christ and his sacrifice in Calvary as your only hope for salvation?
Well, the moment, and thank you for the opportunity to share that with your audience. That moment when I realized that my pursuits were very selfish. I didn't care how I would get to, you know, my dreams or my goals or my passion. I didn't care if it cost anybody else. And when it just came down to me realizing the Lord had shown me that, you know, my behavior and my pursuit was more of a liability than an asset. When I saw that I was an expense to people and what it was costing people, not just financially, but the emotional toll of just doing what I want and not caring what it cost, that just broke. It broke my heart in ways that, I mean, because this was a long time coming. I've been doing this for years. And at that point, you know, I was like, you know what, I can't do it my way. And you know what, my way just really makes me sick. And I just let Lord take over, show me how to do it. And me being a musician, I would see the behavior in other musicians, and I'm like, wow, am I really like that? Is that how I really want to be? And I'm not to, you know, speak bad about my fellow musicians, but, you know, it can be a very selfish and self-glorifying lifestyle. And that's just not something I wanted to be a part of. Not that behavior. I still want to make music. I still want to make art. I still want to produce things. But doing it for my own, you know, glory, my personal gratification and whatnot, it's just unfulfilling. But doing it for the Lord, that's where it's at.
Amen. Amen. Now, did you have any kind of religious upbringing? I know that just as in the white community. You have a Bible Belt Christianity that very often is a Christianity in name only. You have people being raised in cultural Christianity that really has no impact on their lives. And I know that that happens to be sadly the case also in the black community. There are a lot of folks who have a high regard, perhaps even more so in the black community than in the white. They have a high regard for church, for showing reverence to the name of God and the Bible, but there might not be anything in reality behind those words and sentiments as, in regard to a changed life. So I was just curious, well, where you're coming from in your own personal upbringing.
Indeed. I was brought up, definitely to believe in God, but the instructions on how to do that and the examination of the Word of God wasn't really there. It was just something that you were obligated to do. You felt an obligation to go to church. It was more so like maybe out of tradition or some sort of cultural mandate that, you know, could be followed at any time. Like at one point you have to go to church and then all of a sudden there's a lapse in going to church. Really being steeped in the Word of God, I can't really say that I was. However, it was, like I said, it was trying to do things my own way is really kind of what just led me in there. So let me look at this book. Let me see what's going on. And, I had to discover, you know, for myself and thank God, you know, because I know that, you know, my knucklehead itself wasn't going to come to him on my own. I know that it really took him to get me to open that book and ask him to counsel me on the Word.
Amen. And for those of our listeners who are not familiar with Zoe, he happens to be a black Christian. He is also a drummer in a band called 20 Pound Sledgehammer, or is it just 20 Pound Sledge, actually, correct?
Correct, 20 Pound Sledge.
And why don't you describe that band for us?
20 Pound Sledge is my medium to rock the gospel with. And 20 Pound Sledge, if anybody wants to examine Isaiah 41:15, 20 Pound Sledge is heavy. You know, it's David himself was a rocker. You know, if you read it, like dance hard, you like to rock hard, and that's what we do in a culture where, you know, that wants it gritty, that wants it real. You know, that's what we do. We give them that gritty, real sound. But instead of using that, you know, that sound to promote something that's, you know, appealing to the flesh, we're trying to appeal to the spirit.
Amen. And your group, what makes it unique? And, you know, you have to forgive me. I hate using terms like white and black, but these are things that are unique not only in your conservative ideology in the 21st century, to have somebody in the media who is a very conservative Christian, outspoken in conservative ideology, who happens to be also a black brother, and even in the music genre that you have chosen to participate in as a drummer, your entire band, in fact, are black folks who love to rock out to the harder rock and roll that is usually seen being performed by black folks.
that's a good observation. You know, and the thing about it, my band is all black rock band, and there's a few reasons for that. One, you know, when you have in the black community, who often, usually in the black community, they say, you know, rock and roll music is white folks' music. However, they'll also turn around and say that white folks stole rock and roll from black people.
I think we did.
Right? So it's like, well, which is it? It's like, how can it be white folks' music if it was black folks' music to begin with that white people stole the music from?
Right.
You know, that doesn't make any sense. So, you know, it shouldn't be, you know, your persuasion that determines what kind of music you're going to execute or listen to. That stuff is ridiculous. Also, the reason why, you know, music, the band is also black is because, you know, a lot of, in the black community, unfortunately, there is a growing press. It's happened before. It's kind of happening again where, you know, this idea that Christianity is for the white man and Islam is for the black man. Neither statements make any sense. How can Christianity be for the white man when Jesus was a Middle Eastern Jew, right?
Amen.
How can Islam before the black man when Muhammad was an Arab. You know,
right.
So these things are not racially exclusive, and these boxes that they put them in is ridiculous. So as 20-pound sledge, we're trying to set the example rather than getting out there and trying to make some sort of racial statement in words. Like, if you listen to our lyrics, none of our lyrics even, I don't think, even mention the word black. We don't try to call attention to people, you know, as a black band. Like, ooh, look at us. We're black and we play rock and roll. We don't do that. We're guys that happen to be black who oppose this idea that your persuasion dictates what you're supposed to listen to and what you're supposed to believe. We get out there and we set the example. And it's like we're trusting that people are smart enough to see it for themselves rather than us having to try to point to it and tell them what we're doing.
Now, are all the band members from the same congregation, or are you from different churches, or how did that work out?
We are from different churches. Everybody in 20-pound sledge is a believer. I'm probably more of the more politically oriented, but you know, and the personnel of 20-pound sledge has changed. You know, the lineups have changed. But part of the reason to do 20-pound sledge is to reach people culturally, you know, without so much doing it from a soapbox, but doing it from a medium that they can, you know, digest a little bit easier. And when the first lead singer came into the band, he wasn't conservative, or at least he didn't think he was. But after coming into the band, he saw what it was. He saw the difference between conservatism and liberalism. And from there, he was like, you know what? I think I would rather embrace conservatism and examine the Word of God from a conservative filter rather than from a liberal filter, because that leads to perversion of Scripture.
Amen. Now, just as you were not always a Christian, you were not always conservative, and you were not always pro-life. You were at one time a pro-choice advocate, and it's actually a very sweet and sugar-coated way of saying that you were pro-murder or pro-infanticide at one time. But tell us about that. How did this transformation take place in your life?
You know, I think it's a very patronizing position to come from. It's selfish. But it's patronizing because you don't want the woman to feel like you're going to try to intrude on her reproductive empowerment, right? So you pander to these women because, I mean, if I can go ahead and just be blunt with your audience, you don't want anything to get in the way of your sexual exploits. You know, you don't want to have these kinds of debates or arguments or obstructions that's going to get in the way of you getting into the sack with, you know, these women who are not as likely to wait till they get, you know, married or tied down or something like that. So with that in mind, in that kind of culture with females, you know, you don't want to say anything that's going to be out of school. So, you know, I didn't really consider that, hey, I was pro-murder. I was pro-get some action. That's what I was. And the consequences of a pregnancy could be conveniently handled with an abortion. Hey, as long as I got sex, right?
Right.
Now that's pathetic, man. That's detestable. So, you know, when I got to my wife, you know, she really shined the light. As far as this goes, you know, when I was dating her, you know, she let me know what time it was. And when she dropped this truth on me, anything that I ever thought or didn't think about abortion, I did not argue with for one second. And I can be pretty knuckleheaded. I can be pretty stubborn. But when she dropped this on me, I was like, I am not going to argue with this. When she basically pointed out personhood, I had never considered that before. I had never considered personhood before. That's all she had to say. And from there, it came out to, well, wait a minute. Why was it legal to justify slavery? Disqualification of personhood.
Right.
You basically say, you make the case that these people, well, these beings are not human. Ergo, you can make them your property and do whatever you want with them. Well, I would be a total hypocrite if I didn't apply that to the unborn. So I didn't argue with you.
Yeah. And, of course, one of Satan's best-kept secrets is that one of the primary reasons abortion or the murder of the unborn became very popular and prevalent in the United States and other places around the world, but especially the United States, was because white racists wanted to eliminate blacks from the face of the earth, and that was one of the goals of Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, who was a racist, who was a Nazi sympathizer. Those are not exaggerations. And she wanted to impose involuntary sterilization on black men and women because she viewed them as nothing more than a drain on the resources of superior white people. And it's amazing to me why conservatives don't bring that up constantly when the discussion over abortion comes up with liberals. I mean, even conservatives either seem to be ignorant of this fact or too embarrassed or shy or frightened or cowardly to bring it up. But it's just the facts of history that you could easily verify doing a cursory search on the internet about Margaret Sanger.
Indeed. And, you know, and this goes way back. Let's, you know, we're talking about, you know, white supremacy, white privilege, and they're lording over the black race. You know, we can go ahead and take this back, you know, to the Democrat Party. And Democrat Party, you know, it's weird because those who are conservative, and I don't want to, you know, come down on my brothers and sisters in the South, and please don't take this as an attack against the South. This is not an attack against the South. This is an attack against the Democrat Party. Please know the difference. This goes to what you're saying about those being embarrassed or ashamed or anything like that, or being defensive about being a conservative. The language needs to be set straight. When you take it back to the Confederacy, which was represented by the Democrat Party, the Confederacy, when they made that flag, one of the flags that they made was the stainless banner, which had the Confederate battle flag in it. And the inspiration for the stainless banner was the heaven-ordained supremacy of the white man over the Negro. All right? So when we talk about heritage and history, we already say, and we talk about white privilege, well, that was instituted by the Democrat Party. And the Democrat Party, their objective has always been to either control the mindset of the Negro or the population of the Negro. And they're doing it to this very day.
That's
so,
right.
You know, just like you said with Margaret Sanger, it's the same thing. Margaret Sanger was a Democrat. And it's always been, when you look at these things with eugenics, anti-miscegenation, all these things that have these apartheid policies to them, it's all rooted in the Democrat Party. And as far as being conservative, because people will try to say that, oh, the parties have switched sides and the ideologies have switched sides, and try to say that, well, the Democrats or the conservatives back then, that's a bunch of hogwash, man. It's like the Democrats have never been conservative. Lincoln himself said so. Lincoln said, you guys try to call yourselves conservative, and I say assuredly you're not, while you guys try to call us Republicans these revolutionaries and these destroyers. And Lincoln's like, you're not conservative. We are. We're the people who are trying to adhere to the policies of old that the founding fathers put in, who recognize the God-given rights of all men. That's why we're the grand old party. So Lincoln was saying himself, I'm no liberal. I'm a conservative. You Democrats who take liberties with the Constitution, who even took enough liberties to create your own Constitution of the Confederate States to put in language that would give you the law to lord over black people and make them your slaves. You did that. We didn't.
Now, tell our listeners about how you got involved to participate in the filming of the movie Gosnell, the trial of America's biggest serial killer. You play Detective Stark in the movie, and in fact, folks, I am going to be seeing it tonight. I was intending to see it last night, and for some reason, the theater, the only theater within a half-hour drive of my home that had it listed on the internet for a 7 p.m. showing last night, they did not have a 7 p.m. showing, but I've been assured they have a 7:45 showing tonight in Camp Hill, Pennsylvania, so I am intending to go there. I have not seen it yet, but yeah, I know you played Detective Stark. Tell us how you were invited to become a part of this project, which is probably one of the most important films of the 21st century that I have heard. That's the way I've heard it described by some of my friends whose opinions I highly respect.
Wow. Well, I was working with PJTV, and I had a series on there called Zonation. Nick Searcy had seen some of my earlier work, and he had reached out to me. This is back in, like, 2012 and earlier. And he had seen my work, and we had become friends. And in 2013, the story of Gosnell had broke, and I had done my commentary on it. So keeping those things in mind, as Nick kept those things in mind, jumped to 2015 when they had gotten the funding to do the movie. Nick, you know, figured, you know, hey, let me give Zoe a call and see if he'd be interested in this role. Now, mind you, he doesn't know me as being a professional actor. I'm not an actor. I'm a drummer. But I've done commentary, and when I do my commentary, I guess, you know, I use some humor and I use some antics and stuff like that. And I guess, you know, he took that as to be confident that I could do for himself. He took that for his own confidence that I could probably pull off the role. So he called me. I was on tour with my band at the time, 20 Pound Sledge, and Nick calls me up and says, hey, what are you up to? I'm on tour with my band. He said, yeah, cancel your date. I want you to do this movie. I'm like, who are you? Who do you think you are? I'm Nick Searcy, and you're going to do this movie. So there you go.
So tell us about Detective Stark, the character that you portray. Tell us about how you had to prepare to become this character, at least to behave like this character, the way that it was intended to be portrayed in the movie.
Well, Detective Stark is loosely based on one of the undercover agents that was involved in the apprehension of Dell, and I believe he worked closely with Detective Woods, portrayed by Dean Cain in the movie. The movie itself is pretty straightforward. It didn't take a lot of creative liberties, only in consolidation of characters, you know, to be able to tell the story, and so it's not so many characters to keep up with. You know, I reckon that's part of good movie making, is that you don't want to have too many characters to spread people's imaginations where they can't really digest, you know, what's going on. So we consolidated, you know, some of these characters into one. But my character is probably the most creative liberties that they took with my character. But other than that, the movie is pretty, you know, straightforward to the account.
Now, as far as a person that this fictitious character that is actually based on the true characters in the actual events combined, how different of a person is Detective Stark from you in reality?
Well, you know, I think when Nick contacted me to do the role, I think he just saw somebody like me playing it. Wasn't so much that he wanted to create like a way out character that somebody had to like get into. He just saw Zoe being a cop. So in that, it wasn't a lot of gymnastics for me to get into the role, even though this is basically my freshman role. It's not so much that I had to do a lot of change to become Detective Stark.
Well, you know, why don't we also, because the media obviously has been very, very quiet, not only about the movie, but they've been very quiet about the actual villain that the movie is about, Dr. Gosnell, the infant murderer. Tell us in summary about exactly what Gosnell is about.
Well, what he is, I can tell you what he isn't. I don't think he's a doctor. He may be licensed as one, but, you know, we call him an abortion doctor. I mean, he's no doctor. He's an abortion facilitator at best. And what he was doing, oh man, I mean, it cracks me up, you know, when I hear people, you know, especially in the PC culture, when they talk about bullies and stuff like that. You want to talk about a bully.
Right.
You know, if you're abortion, you're a bully. You know, and if you're a doctor that basically removes a kid from a woman's body, you know, remove that kid by force, You know, that's a bully. And what Gosnell was doing for upwards of like 30 years, upwards of 30 years, you know, he was birthing kids. I mean, it's the law, per se, that if you're going to kill a kid, the kid has to be in the womb, right? Well, what Gosnell was doing was that he wasn't killing them in the womb. He was birthing them. So by the pro-abortion culture's own stance, by their own standards, he was in violation of the standard because they get all self-righteous, you know, when the kid is out of the womb. Oh, you got to look out for the children and speak up for the voices and all that sort of stuff. They have all this love for kids that are outside of the womb, but on the other side of that birth canal where they could be just as viable, they got no love for them at all. Well, they are in violation of their own standards because Gosnell was bringing them outside of the birth canal all the way out and murdering them.
And how did he get caught for this?
He got caught not because of the murders that he was committing. He got caught for dealing drugs. So, you know, he had prescription drugs that were going out. His staff were delving out of prescription drugs. Not only were they handing out prescription drugs, they were also administering drugs to the patients and performing the out-of-the-womb abortions themselves. So that caught up with Gosnell. He got busted on the drug trafficking. And that's when, you know, the Philadelphia police started putting two and two together about the murders that he was committing.
And he is spending a life sentence now because of this.
Yeah, 3 counts of murder and manslaughter.
And the irony, of course, is that Hillary Clinton, with a smile on her face during the presidential race when she was debating Donald Trump, she said with a smile on her face that she believed in late-term abortions. And some of the babies that Gosnell delivered were born at an earlier stage of development than some of the babies still in the womb that Hillary Clinton believes should be murdered anyway.
Mm.
And of course, millions of other people.
Right, right. Now, and right there, it's like people are okay with this woman saying that a human being doesn't have constitutional rights. It's like, for a culture that never seems to want to let us forget about slavery. How does this go over their head? How does this escape them? It's like, let's always make people feel guilty about slavery and then be okay with this. It's totally illogical.
Now, has anybody involved in the making of this film, whether they are actors or behind-the-scenes folks, has anybody come to a pro-life position that you're aware of as a result of this film being made?
In terms of a cast and crew,
yes.
I couldn't give any names that folks, you know, might know, but yes, that did happen. There were people who definitely who reconsidered their position if they had a position at all.
Yes, and I know I interviewed Anne Michelhenny, who is the author of the book, and I believe she was a pro-choice advocate before really delving deeply into this horrific story, and one of the producers as well, I believe, gave that same testimony of 180-degree turnaround. I know that the website for this movie, to find out more about it, to find out where it's playing, is gosnellmovie.com, and that's gosnellmovie.com. If you could wrap up in a few minutes by summarizing what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today in regard to the Gosnell movie.
Oh, thank you. And, you know, and just exactly right with Anne Michelhenny and Bela McAleer. You know, their attraction to the movie was the media cover-up. That's what really got to them. It's like, why is this being covered up? You would think that a person who was doing this to women and doing this to children, you would think that the state would have something to say about it, the medical industry would have something about it, the media should have something to say about it, and they never said anything. So they thought that was very curious. So when they got the ball rolling on the media cover-up aspect of about it, because that's the thing that, you know, that's what they do, you know, they're journalists. Then they started to see the horrors that were inflicted on the children, and that really hit their heart, and it really inspired them to and motivated them to get this movie done. And I'm hoping that will be something that the people who see this movie understand is that a lot of the things that they believe is coming out of the sin of omission from the media, or the dictation of what the media wants people to see and what they want them to believe. So it's one of those things where it's like, you know, if you're going to put that kind of faith in somebody telling you what to believe, I hope they, you know, seek the counsel of the Holy Spirit first. You know, if you really want somebody to counsel you on what to believe, seek him, and then from there, let him be your filter about what anybody else tells you.
In fact, could you tell us about anything that you're aware of how this movie has been intentionally hidden from the view of the public, how people are not giving it the coverage that they would normally give any film?
You know, unfortunately, I saw this coming, you know, and because they've been doing it to me for years. It's what they call, the term that they have for it now is shadow banning. I've been shadow banned before there was even a term for it. And a big part of it is because, you know, my commentaries are rooted in scripture, and that comes out in my political beliefs. And a lot of people say that, wow, man, this really makes sense, and I love the way you convey the information. Well, that's a threat to Democrats. That's a threat, you know, to liberalism. So they've been silencing me for years, and I was like, man, this is going to happen to the movie. And sure enough, it is. They're meeting obstacles at every turn, and you know, being impeded unfairly despite the culture of fairness.
Oh, you know, something I wanted to ask you before we go, I hope I'm not keeping you too long, but to some degree it puzzled me that the movie is rated PG. Obviously, Christians don't necessarily want to attend or bring their children to R-rated movies, but at the same time, the horrific, nightmarishingly disgusting and satanic subject matter of this true-to-life movie, you would think would lend itself to an R rating. How did this movie become packaged as a PG film?
It just goes to show that something like this can be tastefully done. You know, if you just, you know, it takes real creativity. It takes real creativity to be able to move that message without crossing the line. You know, and that's what, you know, God bless Nick Searcy to be able to do in the direction of this film. You know, when Andrew Klavan wrote up this script, you know, based on what was conveyed to him by Ann and Balaam, you know, Andrew Klavan just wrote up a great script. Nick took it and was able to direct it in a way that was not, overly graphic. It didn't go over the line. It's just within the dialogue itself. The imagery is conveyed, and there's nothing gross or gruesome shown or anything like that. It's pretty, like I said, it's very tastefully done.
Well, I really hope, Zoe, that you come back as a guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the future. I think that you and I would get along great. In fact, I think we already have, and I think that I think that we have a future ahead of us of frequent conversations on radio, if you are willing, and if God obviously opens up the door for those interviews to occur.
I hope so.
And once again, the movie, you can find out more about the Gosnell movie at gosnellmovie.com. That's G-O-S-N as in Nancy, E-L-L, movie.com. Do you have any other contact information or website information? I love the name of your media company, Bronze Serpent Media. Tell us about that briefly and how people could get in touch with you about 20 Pound Sledge and anything else that they want to find out more about Zoe Rachel.
Wow, thank you so much. Yeah, like you said, my website is called bronzeserpentmedia.com. Just think John 3:14-16. And right there is where you can find all my contact information, Facebook, Twitter, and they can contact me through my email. And it does have information about my band, 20 Pound Sledge. Hopefully, God willing, that our next album will be dropping this year. I also have my books there. My book is A Solid Right Cross. You can think of it as my Christian conservative manifesto. And anything else that you might want to find out, I hope to see you guys there.
And keep in mind that our guest, Zoe, spells his name differently. So on Facebook, there's no F in Alfonso. It's Alonzo on Facebook. and you may find it spelled differently in different places. But I am very thrilled about this interview and hope to have many more awaiting us. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Joe.
Thank you.
Well, God bless you, brother, and we'll talk to you soon.
All righty. Have a good day.
You too. And don't go away, folks, because we have Scott Klusendorf coming up right after this message break. He is the author and founder of the Life Training Institute, LTI. And after this station break, we are going to be discussing lessons to be learned from the Gosnell movie. And we're also going to be learning more about Life Training Institute and hearing more about the horrific sin of infanticide that is plaguing the world when we come back. And our guest will be, for the remainder of the program, Scott Klusendorf. If you have any questions of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages with Scott Klusendorf.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World Now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, I'm Stefan Lindblad, Assistant Professor of Systematic Theology at IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. I accepted this call to teach at the seminary because I'm firmly convinced that the people of God in the churches of our Lord Jesus Christ need to be firmly grounded in the truth of Holy Scripture. I'm excited to be teaching such subjects as the nature of theology and the doctrine of Scripture, and even the doctrine of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Our churches and our people need to be well-grounded in these truths. Indeed, future ministers of the gospel need to understand these truths in order to proclaim them to all of God's people. If you want to learn more about our program, visit us online at irbsseminary.org.
Hi, Phil Johnson here. I'm executive director of John MacArthur's media ministry, Grace to You. And I'm also an occasional guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So I'm delighted that my friend Chris Arnzen and I will be heading down to Atlanta for the G3 conference, where I'll be joining James White, Steve Lawson, Vody Balcom, Mark Dever, Conrad Mbewe, Todd Friel, Josh Bice, and a host of other speakers to address the topic A Biblical Understanding of Missions. Chris Arnzen and I hope to see you all at this very important conference. From January 17th through the 19th, make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron exhibitors booth to say hi to Chris. For more details, go to g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. See you there.
And I can't wait to see Phil Johnson and all my friends at the G3 conference coming up sooner than you think. It's going to be in January, but I'm sure these next 3 months are going to be shooting by like a rocket. By the way, if my first guest, Zoe, is still listening or is listening later on to the recording, the background music to that ad features the drumming of Alphonse Mouzon. I know that you're a drummer. I strongly urge you to look up on the internet the music of Alphonse Mouzon, who is a master jazz drummer that happened to be from the album that he recorded with Larry Coryell called Back Together Again. I just thought I'd let Zoe Rachel know about that. But now I'm delighted to have, for the remainder of the program, Scott Klusendorf, author and founder and president of Life Training Institute. We're going to be discussing lessons to be learned from the Gosnell film, and it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Scott Klusendorf.
Good to be with you, Chris. I'm impressed with your jazz chops.
I owe that actually to my second oldest brother, Andy Arnzen. Some of you know that Andy, sadly, is in a nursing home after a stroke. He's paralyzed on the left side of his body, but Andy was not only a phenomenal musician, actually by trade for at least a third of his life, I think, he also had a very wide spectrum of albums, thousands of albums, and one of his great loves was modern jazz, in addition to traditional jazz. And Larry Coryell and Alphonse Mouzon were amongst his favorites, and he introduced me to that music, and I will always be grateful to him for that. But
good choice.
But tell our listeners who are unfamiliar with Life Training Institute, also known as LTI, tell our listeners about that.
What we do is we equip Christians to make a persuasive case for the lives of the unborn in the public square. And we do that by focusing on the humanity of the unborn and the inhumanity of abortion. And we argue our case using science to establish that the unborn are distinct, living, and whole human beings, and philosophy to argue that there's no essential difference between you, the unborn, and you, the born, that would justify killing you at that earlier stage. Differences of size, level of development, environment, degree of dependency are not good reasons for saying we could kill you in the womb, but not now.
Yeah, exactly. People always talk about a viable fetus. Well, if you left a newly born baby in a room just for a matter of days, it would surely perish. So, I mean, even young children need to be fed and need to be cared for after they're born. So the whole concept of justifying murdering pre-born human beings is not only nonsensical, it's satanic.
Oh, absolutely right. And I think it's safe to say that Satan revels in child sacrifice. And you look at what God gave the prophet Jeremiah as a job description. He told him, I want you to go out and testify against this people. And one of the sins they were doing was sacrificing their own sons and daughters. And then God gives them this, and then God gives Jeremiah this stunning preview of what's coming. He says, no one's going to listen to you. Talk about a disheartening thing. And as I read that today, while I was reading scripture this morning, I thought about the movie that we're talking about today, this Gosnell movie, where the media has tried to just ignore it. And they've tried to just pretend it doesn't exist. And Chris, this is the world that we as Christians live in, where we are called to be faithful testimonies to the truth, even if the culture doesn't want to hear it.
Well, if you could, tell us about your own reaction to the movie. As I said earlier, during our first interview with Zoe Rachel, one of the actors in the film, I have not seen it. I will, God willing, be there at the 7:45 p.m. showing this evening in Camp Hill, Pennsylvania, to see it for the first time. Tell us about how the movie impacted you and some of the lessons we can learn from this movie.
This is a good film. It's well acted, it's well written, and I thought the storyline was very gripping. I think there's three big takeaways for pro-life Christians from this movie. And it is a movie that does not show the graphic imagery of abortion, though you watch the jury viewing the graphic imagery. But the movie nonetheless has three takeaways. And the first is that visuals matter. That if you're going to reach a culture that wants an issue to just go away, you're going to have to reawaken its moral conscience. And this is something that we've seen historically for the last 150 years and even longer, Chris. Think back to Frederick Douglass confronting Abraham Lincoln on the issue of slavery. Frederick Douglass, the great black abolitionist, said to the president, Mr. President, your arguments are wonderful. You're doing a great job establishing a historical and intellectual foundation for the value of the slave. However, your arguments are essentially falling on deaf ears because people, until they have their consciences awakened, are going to laugh this stuff off. And what's needed right now is more thunder, more heat, than simply logical analysis. Now, I think Douglass was onto something. He wasn't saying that intellectual arguments don't work. He wasn't saying we need to throw them out. He was saying that the most persuasive way to arrest the conscience of the nation is to combine disturbing imagery with the arguments you're making. And shortly thereafter, we started getting the first black and white photographs of slaves that had been beaten and dehumanized, and it changed how a lot of people felt. And the same is true with abortion. And we see that in the movie when the jury and even parts of the prosecution team that are not pro-life going into this film, when they see the graphic evidence, it's a game changer. The whole narrative changes.
Yeah, and in fact, I was, as you may have heard if you were listening before you came on, I asked Zoe about the PG rating, and he said that the movie was tastefully done. Mm-hmm. Well, while I agree that there is a time and a place to be tasteful, I also have been saying for years that conservative and pro-life people have to be more consistent and more loud in our voices to demand or to make happen in some way the televising of abortions, because people, especially near election cycles. We need to see, the public needs to see what is going on so they can vote with intelligence. People still have this concept that these are blobs of tissue that are being removed, just like an appendix might be removed from someone's body. I mean, I'm not saying that all people are that ignorant. My friend Jeff Durbin, who is involved in abortion mill evangelism, he actually says that most of the women going in for abortions know they are killing a baby. But still, you have a large number of people in the public who I believe are still very ignorant about this. And just like we saw the films of the liberated death camps that the Nazis orchestrated after the Russian and American GIs liberated those camps, and we saw those films. Those films were necessary to convince the world that those things happened. People even in Germany didn't believe that those things happened.
You're right, Chris. In fact, even today, parents will take their kids, even at middle school age, to go see films like Hacksaw Ridge, Schindler's List, Saving Private Ryan. And by the way, I think these films have a great deal of value to them, but I know why the parents are doing it. Although the films are incredibly graphic, they convey truths that words alone simply cannot convey. And as our speaking team at LTI goes into Catholic and Protestant high schools and secular universities and makes a case for the lives of the unborn, we've noticed a progression that never fails to come true. And that progression goes like this. You change how people feel about abortion as a predicate to changing how they think and ultimately behave. And visuals change how they feel. It levels the playing field. So now when we talk about abortion, we're not shouting conclusions to people about what it is. We're establishing facts about what it is. And that's the key. I think my colleague Greg Cunningham puts it brilliantly. He says, when you show pictures of abortion, abortion protests itself.
Well, we're going to go to our midway break right now. This is the longer than normal break that we have every day, because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break so that they can localize Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to Lake City, Florida, with their own commercials and public service announcements. So please be patient as we take this longer than normal break. Take this time to write down questions for Scott Klusendorf. Also, take this time to write down information provided by our advertisers so you can more frequently and more successfully patronize them, because we rely upon their advertising dollars to exist. And therefore, if you patronize them more frequently, they are more likely to remain our sponsors. So please keep that in mind. But send in your email if you have a question for Scott Klusendorf on abortion in general, about the Life Training Institute in general, or even specifically on the Gosnell film. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, at least your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And obviously, whenever we're talking about abortion on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, that would lend itself to people perhaps having a question that they want to ask anonymously, because they may have had an abortion. They may be contemplating an abortion. They may have loved ones who are having or contemplating having abortions. Well, you can certainly send in your question anonymously. But if it's not a personal and private matter, please try to give us at least your first name, city and state, and country of residence. Don't go away. God willing, we'll be right back with Scott Klusendorf after these messages from our sponsor.
Tired of box store Christianity? Of doing church in a warehouse with all the trappings of a rock concert? Do you long for a more traditional and reverent style of worship? And how about the preaching? Perhaps you've begun to think that in-depth biblical exposition has vanished from Long Island. Well, there's good news. Wading River Baptist Church exists to provide believers with a meaningful and reverent worship experience, featuring the systematic exposition of God's Word. And this loving congregation looks forward to meeting you. Call them at 631-929-3512 for service times, 631-929-3512, or check out their website at wrbc.us. That's wrbc.us.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The New American Standard Bible is perfect for daily reading or in-depth study. Used by pastors, scholars, and everyday readers, the NASB is widely embraced and trusted as a literal and readable Bible translation. The NASB offers clarity and readability while maintaining high accuracy to the original languages, which the NASB is known for. The NASB is available in many editions like a topical reference Bible. Researched and prepared by biblical scholars devoted to accuracy, the new topical reference Bible includes contemporary topics relevant to today's issues. From compact to giant print Bibles, find an NASB that fits your needs very affordably at nasbible.com. Whichever edition you choose, trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com.
Hello, my name is James Renahan, and I'm the president of IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. The Word of God says, if a man desires the office of an overseer, he desires a good thing. Do you have the desire to serve Jesus Christ in pastoral ministry? 20 years ago, the Institute of Reformed Baptist Studies at Westminster Seminary, California was born. For those 2 decades, these institutions worked together to train men for ministry in Reformed Baptist churches. It has been a wonderful partnership. Now we have advanced our school into an independent seminary offering a full program of courses leading to the Master of Divinity degree. This is IRBS Theological Seminary. We believe that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the inspired and inerrant Word of God, that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh who came to save sinners by his life, death, and resurrection, and that the task of the church is to honor and serve the triune God in all things. IRBS Theological Seminary is dedicated by God's grace to preparing godly ministers who will be committed to these doctrines. Do you sense a call to serve Jesus Christ and his church as a pastor? Why not consider IRBS Theological Seminary? You'll find more information at irbsseminary.org. That's irbsseminary.org, 2 S's in the middle. I hope to hear from you soon. God bless you.
Chris Sorensen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the 4th largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
James White here, co-founder of Alpha and Omega Ministries and occasional guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I'm so delighted that my friend Chris Arnzen will be heading down to Atlanta for the next G3 conference from January 17th to the 19th, 2019, where I'll be joining a very impressive lineup of speakers on the theme, A Biblical Understanding of Missions. Speakers include John Piper, Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Mark Dever, Conrad Mabewe, Phil Johnson, Josh Bice, yours truly, and many more. I hope you all join Chris and me for this phenomenal event. For more details, go to g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, inviting you to tune in to A Visit to the Pastor's Study every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on WLIE Radio, www.wlie540am.com. We bring biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you, and we invite you to visit the pastor's study by calling in with your questions. Our time will be lively, useful, and I assure you, never dull. Join us this Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time for A Visit to the Pastor's Study, because everyone needs a pastor.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church, NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit SolidRockRemodeling.com. That's SolidRockRemodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And you can call cvbbs.com at 800-656-0231, 800-656-0231, Monday through Friday, between 10 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And please mention Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. In fact, if you do, and you purchase at least $50 worth of merchandise, you will receive not only free shipping on your entire order, but you will also receive absolutely free the book, The Journalable Psalm 119, published by Reformation Heritage Books. That's The Journalable Psalm 119, absolutely free, and free shipping if you order $50 or more and mention Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And CVBBS.com also wants to remind you that they have an incredible sale on the two-volume set. This is a combined total of over 1,800 pages, a hardback two-volume set by the guest that we had on recently, Richard C. Gamble. The Whole Counsel of God, Volume 1 and 2, they are normally over $109 retail value, retail price, but you can get them for $49 and change, less than half price, by ordering them through cvbbs.com. I just thought I'd remind you of that. Before I return to Scott Klusendorf, just have a couple of more announcements to make about special events coming up. Next month, God willing, I will be at the Quakertown Conference on Reformed Theology again. I believe this is my third or fourth attendance to this wonderful conference, manning an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio exhibitor's booth. The theme this year is The Glory of the Cross. It's November 9th and the 10th at the Grace Bible Fellowship Church of Quakertown, Pennsylvania. The speakers include David Garner, Ray Ortland, Richard Phillips, Timothy Gibson, and Carlton Wynn. If you'd like to register for the Quakertown Conference on Reformed Theology, go to alliancenet.org, alliancenet.org, click on events, and then scroll down to the Quakertown Conference on Reformed Theology. Another event where I am going to be for the third year in a row, manning an exhibitor's booth, is the G3 Conference in Atlanta, Georgia, from Thursday, January 17th through Saturday, January 19th. The theme this January is The Mission of God, A Biblical Understanding of Missions. It's being held once again at the Georgia International Convention Center in College Park, Georgia, which is a suburb of Atlanta. They are expecting between 4,000 and 5,000 people there this January. So if you have a church, parachurch ministry, or business that you would like to promote amongst that crowd of between 4,000 and 5,000 people, just like I will be doing with my Iron Sharpens Iron exhibitors booth, then I strongly urge you to not only register for attendance, but register for an exhibitors booth for your church, parachurch, ministry, or business. Go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com. Keep in mind that if you have Spanish-speaking or bilingual friends, they are having an exclusively Spanish-speaking edition of the G3 Conference on Wednesday, January 16th. And for the English-speaking folks attending, from the 17th through the 19th, they once again have an enormous roster of very impressive speakers, including Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, John Piper, Stephen J. Lawson, Vodi Baucom, Mark Dever, Conrad Mbewe, Tim Challies, Phil Johnson, Todd Friel of Wretched TV and Wretched Radio. We have Stephen J. Nichols speaking there, the president of Reformation Bible College, the college founded by the late R.C. Sproul and Ligonier Ministries, and many, many more are on that roster. Go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com. Last but not least, if you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and you don't want us to go away, you love sharing the free MP3s with your family, friends, and loved ones, you love the topics and guests that you hear here that are very often people that you do not hear interviewed anywhere else, and sometimes you don't even hear the topics that we address anywhere else. Well, if you love us, you don't want us to say goodbye forever, go to go to ironsharpensironradio.com, ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You will be able to donate instantly with a debit or credit card, and I always try to remember to remind you, please never siphon money away from your regular giving to the local church where you are a member. Never do that. Never put your family in financial jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We only want you to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio if you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to support your church and your family, because those two things are commands of Scripture. Providing for my show is not a command of Scripture, but if you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, and you love the show, you don't want us to go away, then please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can also mail in a check via snail mail the old-fashioned way to the address that appears on the screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. If you'd like to advertise with us, send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, and put advertising in the subject line. As long as whatever it is you are promoting is compatible with what we believe here, you don't have to believe identically with me, but you can't be promoting something that militates against what I believe. As long as that is kosher, then send me an email with advertising in the subject line, and we would love to help you launch an ad campaign for your church, parachurch ministry, your business, your professional practice, if you're a lawyer, a doctor, a dentist, a chiropractor, or if you're just having a special event. We would love to help you promote it. Send me that email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Also, use that email address to send in a question for Scott Klusendorf, our guest today. We are discussing the Gosnell movie and lessons that can be learned about infanticide in America and globally from this movie. Email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. And Scott, before we go to another reason, or should I say another lesson that we can learn from the Gosnell movie, we do have a question from one of our listeners. We have Susan Margaret in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania, who wants to know, how do we bring up these issues with our pro-choice family and friends without these becoming horrific arguments and perhaps even destroying relationships? Because of the fact that this is such an evil thing plaguing our globe, it is a difficult thing to bring up with politeness and sensitivity and smiles and warmth. This is as ugly as the Holocaust of the early 20th century in Nazi Germany. And how can we possibly have discussion with those who disagree on this without getting angry with them?
Great question, Susan. Thank you for raising it. One of the things I like to do is engage with questions. Instead of just shouting a conclusion, I ask a question to provoke, hopefully, deep thought. And for anyone who's seen our television series, Life is Best, which our good friend Todd Friel produced, you will notice that my speaking team and I interact with secular students at a secular university on the issue of abortion. And we have dozens of conversations, and not one of them ever got heated. In fact, the students, all of whom disagreed with us for the most part, did not get angry at us. They thanked us. So questions that I have found helpful go something like this. Do you believe that each and every human being has an equal right to life? Now, the reason why that question is helpful is our culture is obsessed with equality. They want income equality, social equality. They want marriage equality, where if you want to marry your canary, you can do it, as my friend Greg Kokel points out. And we can tap into that by beginning to show that if you really care about equality, do you care about it for each and every human being? And of course, most people don't care about it. They just want to care about it. And by asking that question, we get to the main thing, which is what makes us valuable in the first place? Then another question I found very helpful is to say, after I've engaged that question of equality, is to say something like this. If it's wrong to hurt people because of their skin color or gender, why is it okay to hurt them because of their size, level of development, or degree of dependency? And it's funny, you'll watch jaws drop when people begin to consider these questions, because they're human beings with intrinsic value. They bear the image of God. And so inside, they recognize immediately that human beings shouldn't be mistreated simply because they look different than us, because they happen to act different than us. And it brings the abortion issue right into their own universe, where we can start with some common ground and begin a dialogue. Now, I'm not going to pretend that there's a magic formula you can lay out there that will cause every critic to fall on their knees and say, thank you for coming into my life to straighten out my twisted thinking. Persuasion doesn't work that way. In fact, the great debater William Rusher, in his book, How to Win Arguments More Often Than Not, made the point that arguments are seldom won on the spot. They're won weeks later when the person is alone with his or her thoughts, and it dawns on them, you had the better case. And if we look at our own lives, we're like this, Chris. I mean, any of us that are married, when our spouse makes a good argument against a position we hold dearly, we generally don't slap ourselves on the knee and say, honey, I'm so glad that the Lord put you here to straighten me out. No, we sort of passive-aggressively resent the blow. It takes us a while to deal with it and process it. And we shouldn't think that the people we're talking to are any different, but we can still give them something to think about.
Great. Well, thank you, Susan, for the excellent question. Now, if you could, Scott, give us another lesson that we can learn from the Gosnell movie.
Well, if the first lesson was that visuals matter and change the narrative, the second lesson is keep the main thing the main thing. Listen, the prosecution team in this movie had the kitchen sink thrown at them. Critics said, oh, by opening up this abortion case, you just hate poor women. You want poor women to suffer. And, oh, you're a racist because you're going after a clinic in a minority neighborhood. And oh, you just want women to suffer who won't be able to get their needed health care services.
And, of course, the murderer himself was black, or is black, I should say.
Right. Right. And so the prosecution team is being subjected to an avalanche of criticisms that are completely beside the point. The issue here was two questions. Were children killed after birth, and were women killed in this clinic? That was the issue. Were innocent human beings in the womb and later after birth being killed? That was a focus. And were the mothers who were orchestrating these killings also being harmed? And the jury was forced to look at that because the prosecution team would not let the critics change the narrative. And here's the lesson, Chris, for pro-lifers. Right now in the pro-life movement, you've got this strand of pro-life thinkers out there that say, if we're going to be legitimate, if we're going to be credible, we can't just be pro-life. We have to be pro-abundant life, or we have to be whole life, and we have to take on a whole bunch of other issues besides abortion. We have to take on the problem with fatherless children and fatherless families. We have to take on the task of taking care of the poor. We've got to be for immigration reform. We've got to be pro-refugee. We have to be against gun violence. We have to be against the opiate addiction. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And basically what's happening is pro-lifers are buying the premise of our critics that basically says you have no right to call yourself pro-life unless you take on all these other issues. What we need to do is take a lesson from what the prosecution team did here. They kept the main thing the main thing. And here's the question pro-lifers need to put to their critics. Instead of caving and saying we're going to take on all these other issues and spread our already thin issues or thin resources even thinner, fighting all these other injustices, what we need to do is look our critics in the eye and simply say, how does it follow that because I oppose the intentional killing of an innocent human being, that I am therefore responsible to fix everything wrong with society? Make them answer that question. I mean, do we go to the American Cancer Society and say you have no right to call yourself a healthcare organization if you don't take on other diseases like strokes, heart attack, lupus, Crohn's disease? I mean, nobody would say that to the American Cancer Society, and yet pro-lifers buy the premise of our critics that because we don't want innocent children killed, we've got to take responsibility for everything. Nobody on the issue of spousal abuse says, listen, the underlying cause of spousal abuse is societal problems that run very deep. And before we can outlaw spousal abuse, we need to be promoting counseling for men and federal programs aimed at helping men not be so violent. And until we do all that, we can't outlaw spousal abuse. No, we outlaw spousal abuse, and rightfully so. The same is true with abortion.
Excellent. We have Arnie in Perry County, Pennsylvania. And Arnie says, do you have optimism over the future of America in regards to abortion finally becoming extinct from our behavior and laws that permit it? Do you think that the appointment of Judge Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court is going to really help this issue? Or do you think so-called conservatives and Republicans will continue to give lip service to this issue while really doing nothing?
Well, I do think that having a more conservative federal court system is essential to eventually ending abortion, but it's not sufficient. The reason why it's not sufficient is, let's say Roe versus Wade were overturned tomorrow. Abortion would remain legal in all 50 states the next day. all that would do was would allow the individual states to begin passing their own legislation without fear of the federal courts enjoining it. And that's a necessary step. That needs to happen. But it's not going to be sufficient to end abortion. Then the real battle begins. State by state, it's going to come down to, do we have enough equipped pro-life Christians to make the case and build political alliances that will allow us to flex our muscles politically, not for our own benefit, because we're wanting attention, but for the benefit of those who can't speak for themselves. So it's a necessary step to reverse Roe v. Wade, but it's not a sufficient step if we're talking about the ultimate goal of ending abortion.
Before we go to any more listener questions, I'd like you to give us another lesson that we can learn from the Gosnell movie.
Well, the third lesson, and this one is a biggie for us, worldviews matter. If you answer the question, what makes humans valuable in the first place, with a functional or performance definition, meaning you define human value not based on whose image we bear, but the attributes we have, like self-awareness or viability that you mentioned earlier, or the ability to feel pain, or the ability to intellectually interact with our environments. If you define human value on those terms, you get savage inequality, because those with more of those traits have greater rights than those with less. Christians have a better answer. We are all equally valuable because we all equally bear the image of our Maker. We are all intrinsically valuable, meaning our value does not come from what we do functionally. It comes from whose image we bear. That argument is one that can stand up because we can make a case for what constitutes real equality. The secular culture talks about equality, but how do they ground it? Look, if my value is based on some trait that may come and go and that none of us share equally, you have no basis for talking about equality. You've got to find something we all share equally that doesn't come in degrees, like self-awareness. What is that thing? Well, the only thing is that we all have the same human nature. What's a human nature? Well, a human nature is what makes you human and not a dog or a cat. A dog has a dog nature. A cat, I will argue, has a satanic nature. You have a human nature. The reality is, I've learned that since we now have a cat at our house. Anyway, there's something else.
There's nothing more creepy than staring across a dark room and seeing a cat staring at you.
Oh, they are quite the critters, let me tell you. But she's endeared herself to us, so there'll be no cat hangings in our house. But the reality is, what makes us human is we all have the same fundamental nature. And if you ground human equality in our common human nature, rather than functions that come and go that none of us share equally, you have a basis for equality. The minute you throw that out, you get Gosnell, who arbitrarily decides who counts and who doesn't. And you get a host of other evils that we've seen historically, where those in power decide what traits matter, and everybody who doesn't make the grade gets treated in a subhuman fashion. That's not the kind of culture that we want to live in, and Christian pro-lifers have a better alternative to that.
Well, we're going to our final break right now. If you do want to send in a question to our guest, Scott Klusendorf, please do so now, because we're rapidly running out of time. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And once again, please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Haven't forgotten about you who are already waiting to have your questions asked, so be patient with us. We'll be right back to get some of those questions answered right after these messages from our sponsors.
Have you been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? We remain on the air because of our faithful sponsors and because of listeners like you. There are four ways you can help. First, do you know potential sponsors who may wish to advertise their goods or services on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? Second, whenever possible, purchase the products or use the services that our sponsors advertise. And then let them know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Thirdly, you can also donate to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio by going to our website at ironsharpensironradio.com. and click support at the top of the page. But most importantly, keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in your prayers. We hope that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio blesses you for many years to come.
Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Hi, I'm Mark Lukens, pastor of Providence Baptist Church. We are a Reformed Baptist church, and we hold to the London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689. We are in Norfolk, Massachusetts. We strive to reflect Paul's mindset to be much more concerned with how God views what we say and what we do than how men view these things. That's not the best recipe for popularity, but since that wasn't the apostles' priority, it must not be ours either. We believe, by God's grace, that we are called to demonstrate love and compassion to our fellow man, and to be vessels of Christ's mercy to a lost and hurting community around us, and to build up the body of Christ in truth and love. If you live near Norfolk, Massachusetts, or plan to visit our area, please come and join us for worship and fellowship. You can call us at 508-528-5750, that's 508-528-5750, or go to our website to email us, listen to past sermons, worship songs, or watch our TV program entitled Resting in Grace. You can find us at Providence Baptist Church, ma.org, that's Providence Baptist Church, ma.org, or even on sermonaudio.com. Providence Baptist Church is delighted to sponsor Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Chris Sorensen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
Got to tell you, for my money, Chris Arnzen's radio program is just the best.
Iron. Criticizing Iron.
I think that's what it's called. This is Todd Friel of Wretched Radio and TV with Phil Johnson of Grace to You, inviting everybody to come to the G3 conference, which has almost instantly become one of the best conferences in the country.
And it is. It's a great conference. I love it. And Chris Arnzen was there last year. He's been there, I think, every year. It's great to see him there. You and I actually did some recordings in the lobby at that place, which
so
is a highlight
for
me.
Tons of stuff going on.
Yeah.
Tons of great speakers. And no matter where you are in the building, you will hear Chris Arnzen's laugh. And that's worth the price of admission alone. If you would like to join Phil, me, Chris, and a cavalcade of great preachers, so it should be a cavalcade of great preachers, and me, G3Conference.com, G3Conference.com.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church, NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Hi, I'm Stefan Lindblad, Assistant Professor of Systematic Theology at IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. I accepted this call to teach at the seminary because I'm firmly convinced that the people of God in the churches of our Lord Jesus Christ need to be firmly grounded in the truth of Holy Scripture. I'm excited to be teaching such subjects as the nature of theology and the doctrine of Scripture, and even the doctrine of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Our churches and our people need to be well grounded in these truths. Indeed, future ministers of the gospel need to understand these truths in order to proclaim them to all of God's people. If you want to learn more about our program, visit us online at irbsseminary.org.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Listening to Christian radio can be a big gamble spiritually. Even many of the major Christian networks that include excellent, biblically faithful teachers on their lineup sadly often also include the worst of doctrinally dangerous heretics. If you are a lover of the doctrines of sovereign grace, you need not fear listening 24 hours a day to firstloveradio.org. They feature Christ-centered programming from Reformed pastors and teachers you can rely upon for theological soundness and biblical faithfulness, such as Dr. W.R. Downing, Dr. Peter Masters, Pastor Joe Jackowitz, Pastor Robert Gifford, Al Martin, Edward Delcor, and more. FirstLoveRadio.org also live streams my Iron Sharpens Iron radio program daily. Please stick around on FirstLoveRadio.org after Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is over to continue being blessed by the unwavering proclamation of the gospel of sovereign grace. Spread the word about FirstLoveRadio.org.
Welcome back, and yes, remember to keep your live streaming going after Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is over, because my friend Pastor Joe Jackowitz preaches immediately following Iron Sharpens Iron Radio every day, and you don't want to miss his sermons. He is a really gifted and biblically faithful man of God. So just remember to keep that live streaming going every day at 6 p.m. when Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is over, so you can hear Pastor Joe Jackowitz. Also, a quick reminder, Mike Gadosh, founder of Solid Ground Christian Books, is still recovering at home after successful heart surgery, open heart surgery that was very dangerous. It was not a typical heart surgery. It was very complicated and life-threatening, but God got him through this. Thanks be to the great physician. And please keep in mind that he did have quite a bit of a financial setback being laid up in the hospital during this ordeal. So please help him replenish what was lost by ordering as much as you can from solid-ground-books.com. Solid-ground-books.com, a sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We are back now with our final 25 minutes or so with Scott Klusendorf. We are discussing valuable lessons that could be learned from the Gosnell movie. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. We have Bobby in Hartsdale, New York, who wants to know, what specifically does the Life Training Institute do to help equip churches and Christian individuals be more equipped to battle this grotesque sin plaguing our nation? Forgive me if you went into detail before. I may have missed it because I have tuned in late.
No worries, Bobby. Well, what we do at LTI is we try to give you, the lay Christian, the tools of thought that you need to engage people who don't share your biblical worldview. As Christians, we've got common ground with other Christians. We can appeal to the Imago Dei. We can appeal to the authority of Scripture, and we should. With non-believers, we absolutely want to bring the truth of Scripture to bear on the issue of abortion, but we may have to establish some common ground before they'll give us a hearing. So in that realm, what we try to do is give you arguments that will resonate with people who don't think religious knowledge counts as truth with a capital T. And we give them something to think about. We put, as my friend Greg Kochel says, a pebble in their shoe. So we do this as an organization a number of different ways. Number one, we go into Catholic and Protestant high schools, and we do assemblies. And by the way, Chris, any of your listeners that would like to have one of our speakers come and do an assembly at a local Catholic or Protestant high school, we would love to hear from them. The other thing that we do is we speak at Christian worldview conferences like Summit Ministries, like the G3 conference that has been mentioned, did that a few years ago, and other venues where we equip believers with the best pro-life arguments out there. You know, one of the problems, Chris, is that we have a lot of smart guys on our side, the Robbie Georges, the Frank Beckwiths, the Pat Lees, the J.P. Morelands, and others who are doing phenomenal work at the academic level making a case for the lives of the unborn. The problem is very few lay people read those guys. So what we try to do on our team is take the best pro-life arguments out there and make them understandable to lay people. So we'll do half-day training seminars. That training comes through in my book, The Case for Life. It comes through in our television series, Life is Best. And we equip you to make that case for life. Then there's another thing that we do. We also equip you to bring the Christian gospel to men and women who've been wounded by abortion. You know, it's one thing to lay out your case for the pro-life view, which is an absolutely essential part of any effective pro-life apologetic. But that apologetic is not sufficient if we also, or if we fail to point people to the only remedy that will fix their brokenness, and that's the gospel. I've had Christians say to me, you know, the only way people will understand the pro-life view is if we preach the gospel. Well, that's true and not true. It's certainly not true that you have to become a Christian before you can be converted to the pro-life view. We've got plenty of non-Christian pro-life activists and advocates out there who do very good work on behalf of the unborn who may not be Christian. However, here's the thing, and this is what pro-lifers need to understand. You will not have a real remedy for people if they're broken because of the sin of abortion if you're not also giving them the gospel. And we tell you how to do that in the context of abortion. And then the final thing we do is we can equip you with the tools you need to become a pro-life communicator in your local communities, teach you how to go into Catholic and Protestant high schools and classrooms and make a case for life and handle objections. So we're an equipping ministry. That's our main focus.
Well, you said something that actually resonates with one of our listeners' questions. Ronald in Eastern Suffolk County, Long Island, New York, says, I am as strongly pro-life as you can get. I believe that no Christian could logically and consistently believe in the inerrant scriptures and come away being pro-choice or pro-abortion. However, don't we who are conservatives and pro-lifers need to be very leery of using this as just another social gospel element, just as the liberals had at one time and still do, use as a part of their social gospel things that are beautiful and good and commanded of the scriptures, such as feeding and clothing and housing for those who are poor and who are in unfortunate circumstances in life. But that became their gospel. Don't we have to be careful not to think and convince others that being pro-life is equal to becoming a Christian, and also that the being pro-life is just as important as the gospel itself?
Thank you for that question. I would argue this, that the abortion responsibilities of the local church relate to the Great Commission. Let's go to Matthew 28. Christ gave the church the responsibility to go make disciples. He then told us what that means. Making disciples means teaching people to obey all that he has commanded. One of those commands is, we're not to shed innocent blood, Exodus 23:7, Proverbs 6:16-19, Matthew 5:21, to name a few. Abortion is the shedding of innocent blood. Therefore, abortion fits within the Great Commission responsibilities of the local church. It's not a distraction from it. So I would argue we don't have to choose between preaching the gospel and being faithful witnesses on the pro-life issue. We can do both because Scripture indicates that the shedding of innocent blood is an egregious sin that God cares in particular about a great deal. And therefore, as believers, when we address that, we're not doing something extra-biblical. We're doing something that fits within the command to go make disciples.
Yes, I agree with you 100%. And just to clarify, though, being passionately an advocate for the sanctity of human life for unborn children does not make you one who is worthy of heaven in and
no.
of itself.
Not at all. Listen, we as Christians need to be very careful that we do not engage in co-confession with people who do not hold the truths we hold from Scripture. However, we can be co-belligerent with them, meaning we can work with them to promote justice for the weakest and most vulnerable members of the human family, the unborn. Co-belligerence does not need to mean co-confession. And I resist any effort for co-confession, but I will work with non-believers. I will work with people of other faiths who don't share my biblical view if they are willing to help us save children. If the town is on fire and we need a bucket brigade, we don't quiz people theologically before putting out the fire. However, it doesn't mean I'm going to show up next Sunday at church and say, let's let the atheist who helped me pass water preach. That isn't going to happen.
Right.
So we need to be very distinct in our worldview, very distinct in our theology, and we need to be careful that we are not confusing co-belligerence with co-confession.
Yes, it's interesting that you mentioned atheists running to help put out the fire with the water buckets. Might surprise a lot of people that the late Christopher Hitchens, very notorious atheist, prolific writer, defending that position, he was pro-life. He just saw the vividly clear and undeniable evidence that unborn children are indeed children, and even according to his worldview, they shouldn't be murdered, whether they are being covered by a woman's stomach or whether they are outside breathing the air around them, they should not be murdered. And in fact, gruesomely murdered, ripped to pieces while they are still alive.
Exactly right, Chris. You make an excellent point, and that is unbelievers are capable of recognizing moral truths at the epistemic level. What they cannot do is ground them in a logical way, because outside the character of God, outside the character of a holy God, objective morals don't make sense. However, because they're image bearers, even though they do not yet believe on the Lord Jesus, they can still recognize moral truths and respond to them. They're just not spiritually alive in the way that merits them heaven.
We have Bibi in Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, who says, one thing that I rarely hear about from my fellow pro-life advocates is that if a woman's life is in danger and the unborn child and the mother are certainly going to die if a delivery of a pregnancy comes to full term, there is the option on occasion where premature delivery can be induced by a physician, where even if that premature delivery will result in the very likelihood that the child will die, that is not the intention of the premature delivery, and the child is not brutally murdered and ripped to pieces. Do you believe that this is an acceptable practice when you have a situation where both mother and child are certainly going to die if the delivery comes full term?
Well, let me give you an exact case from medicine where this is true most of the time, and that being ectopic pregnancy. This is where the embryo, the developing human, implants on the inner wall of the fallopian tube, not the uterine wall where it should develop. As that embryo grows in that narrow tube, the risk to the mother is obvious. Internal hemorrhaging and, according to the CDC, the Mayo Clinic, and other reputable medical sources, the threat of death is real to both. So let's assume you're a pro-life physician and you have a situation where a parent or a patient presents herself with ectopic pregnancy. Do you do nothing and let two humans die, or do you act in such a way that you save one life even though the unintended but foreseen result is the death of the developing human? And my answer is you act to save the mother. Now, right away, people say, well, isn't that abortion? No. Let's define abortion. It's very important that we do this, defining terms. Abortion is the intentional killing of a human fetus. In this case, the doctor foresees the death of the embryo, but he does not intend it, in much the same way that a general in a just war can foresee the deaths of innocent human beings, though he does not intend them. In the act of abortion, the abortionist not only foresees the death of the unborn, he intends the death of the unborn. So the two cases are not parallel. And in this situation, the greatest moral good you can do, given the situation you've been presented with, is to save the one life that you can save and not let two humans die. Now, I've had people say to me, well, no, the medical evidence says you don't have to end the pregnancy. I've looked at the evidence, and I haven't seen any credible sources that convince me that we have a way to save both mother and child. It may happen now and then, but that's not the norm. The other thing I would say is I've had Christians say, well, why don't we just trust God in this situation? And my answer is, if you have a morally acceptable option open to you and you do not take it and that woman dies that you could have saved, was that faith or was that presumption? I think we need to be very careful that in the broken world we live in, that we act morally, and one of the ways we act morally is to do the greatest good we can given the situation that we've been handed.
Yeah, you might have a circumstance with conjoined twins mm-hmm. where the babies will both certainly die if a yes. certain in a certain circumstances. I'm not saying that that always happens, but right. where you are separating the twins, not with the intention of killing one, even if right. the doctors know that it is very probable, if not certain, that one will die. That's mm-hmm. not your intention behind doing it.
That's correct. And that happened, as a matter of fact, in England about 10 to 12 years ago, and some pro-lifers were very upset about this. But what the doctors were clearly trying to do is save the one life that they could save. The smaller twin was literally killing the larger one, and they couldn't save the smaller one. She didn't have the organs needed to sustain her own life, and they could save the larger child, and so that's what they did.
We have, let's see here, we have Robert in Westchester County, New York, and Robert says, what is your opinion on incrementalism when it comes to establishing the death of the abortion industry in the United States? And one example that I am thinking of, I am aware that there is one state, at least in the United States, that has outlawed the abortion of unborn children because of their race or gender. Is that a good way, if you know you cannot establish a completely pro-life state where abortion altogether is outlawed, that at least that is a step in the right direction, and it also gets the leftists to consider what is going on, because even leftists would probably be opposed to an unborn child being murdered just because it was female or black or Hispanic or Asian?
Yeah, that's a great question. By the way, I've written a rather lengthy article on this called When Perfection Kills that you can get at townhall.com. Robert, it's called When Perfection Kills. But here's my short answer. As pro-lifers, we have an obligation to limit evil and promote the good insofar as possible, given the political realities in front of us. We are always required to do everything we can to limit evil as much as we can until all children are protected. You are compromising on incremental legislation if your ultimate goal is not to protect all children. You only want to protect some. Now, in response to this, I've had pro-lifers say, well, what about legislation that basically says, at the end of the day, well, then you can kill the baby? No pro-lifer anywhere is deciding which children are going to be killed and which children will live. The federal courts have already decided that no children have a right to life, none. No fetus, according to Roe v. Wade or Doe v. Bolton, has an intrinsic right to life, not a one. What we are doing is not deciding who lives and dies. The court did that. We are the ones forcing the other side to compromise, because now with these incremental bills, you can't kill all the children. And as soon as we're able to protect all of them, we're going to do that. That's our ultimate goal, that every child is protected. But till then, we're not going to sit back and let some die that could have been saved. That's not good moral thinking.
Well, I would like you and the remaining 5 minutes to have an uninterrupted time to unburden your heart and have what is most important to you etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today, and if you could also remind us of the importance of this Gosnell movie as well.
Well, on the Gosnell movie, again, I think the three big takeaways are visuals matter. When people see abortion, it changes the narrative. Secondly, we got to keep the main thing the main thing. Right now, you've even got pro-life Christian leaders who I respect, who I work with in many cases, trying to make the case that the pro-life movement has got to spread its resources even thinner, fighting other evils, and that will bankrupt us. That will cause a huge problem. Look, as a Christian, I will care about a lot of things, but it doesn't follow that the operational objectives of the pro-life movement have to be broad and inclusive as well. We got to keep the main thing the main thing. And then thirdly, it's very important, and I think the movie does an excellent job of pointing this out. It's very important as pro-lifers that worldviews matter, and we've got to make sure the culture understands what happens once you buy into a worldview that says each and every human being doesn't have an equal right to life. When you buy into that worldview, you get Gosnell. You get a historical storyline of atrocities done in the last couple of hundred years that is just staggering to behold, because people decided somewhere that not all humans count. What I would say in the remaining few minutes, Chris, a couple of practical points for your listeners. Number one, make sure you understand the foundation of your pro-life view. The foundation of your pro-life view is that a holy God has made human beings in his image. They are image bearers, and because of that, they are infinitely precious, and they are intrinsically valuable. That's why we oppose abortion. And opposing abortion is not a distraction from the gospel. It fits naturally within the Great Commission responsibilities of the local church, like I mentioned earlier. The second thing I would say is put some feet to your view that human beings have intrinsic value. And one of the ways you can do that is the midterm elections. Look, I do not for a moment pretend that elections save people from hell. Now, godly election does, where he chooses those that are his, but when we're talking about political election, we're not talking here about saving souls. We're talking about saving babies from the dumpster, and that matters to the Lord because the Lord cares about justice. Martin Luther King put it real well. He said, "The law cannot make the white man love me, but it can stop him from lynching me," and that matters. In the same way, the reason we as Christians need to be involved and vote in elections like the one coming up is we care about unborn children. We're not doing this for selfish reasons. We're not doing it to empower our own special interest. We're doing it because we care about the shedding of innocent blood. And this election matters. It's huge, Chris. And I encourage your listeners to take a part in that and to vote for candidates that are going to uphold the sanctity of human life. And then finally, I would say, hey, if you are wondering what can I do to get started, I don't understand the moral logic of the pro-life view, it's new to me, I would encourage you to go to the Colson Center's website. You can do that by going to breakpoint.org and getting the prayer guide that John Stonestreet and I co-authored that in 21 days will not only give you great ways to pray about this issue, but each day there's a one-minute reflection. It only takes 1 minute to read it and equip yourself on pro-life apologetics. And we give you, in that 21-day format, all the tools of thought you need to begin engaging on this issue in a Christ-honoring way. And I would say, hey, if you're new to this, that's a great place to start.
Great. Do you have anything coming up in the near future that you care to mention as far as events that the Life Training Institute is orchestrating?
Well, I've got a number of chapels coming up. I've got chapel at Colorado Christian University next week. I've got a bioethics conference coming up in Billings, Montana that's going to deal with all the fun stuff, reproductive assisted technologies, death and dying, euthanasia, physician-assisted suicide, biotechnology, so all that good stuff that will earn you friends at the Thanksgiving table. that's what my life is, Chris.
Well,
nobody invites me for Thanksgiving. I'm not sure I'd invite me, to be honest.
Nobody invites me for Thanksgiving, and it has nothing to do with any of those things. They just don't want me there.
Hey, there you go. Well, I would be glad to invite you because you've got good taste in jazz. So that alone would get you there. The other thing I would tell your listeners is nationally on December 3rd and 4th, Focus on the Family will be rebroadcasting my talk on how to present a winning pro-life message. I didn't know this, but it ended up being one of their top broadcasts for the year, so they're going to run it again. And if your listeners want to tune in, I'm sure they might find some nuggets there to draw from.
Great. Well, I know that your website is prolifetraining.com, and also don't forget the Gosnell Movie website is gosnellmovie.com, G-O-S-N as in Nancy, E-L-L, movie.com, and you can find out where Gosnell is playing at a theater near you, and perhaps you could even rent a theater and have it aired or played, I should say, at a theater near you if they allow you to do that kind of thing. I want to thank you so much, Scott, for being on the program. I want to thank Zoe Rachel for being on the program as well. I want to thank everybody who listened today, and I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.